welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I am Judy Nathans.
And over here in this corner is Robert Winters. Hey there.
And I do want to say, just for the record, because it's that tonight is the high school prom. It's going to be at the Museum of Science. And June 9th is the CRLS graduation.
Cool. I actually went to the kickoff event for Starlight Square. I think it was a couple weekends ago.
Oh, I missed that. I was out of town. It was Friday, right?
It was CRLS
or Thursday. It was a soft opening.
Yeah, yes. I think it was something like formerly an Ethiopian club or something like that. But they did a combination of sort of fashion show type stuff and musical performances. Yeah. And I have to say, there was, I believe it was a Japanese young woman and a Japanese young man from the high school who played. He was on keyboard, she was singing. They were stunning.
They were
they were beyond great. I was up to that point, I was going, this is all right. It's all right. And at this point, it was like, I almost got weepy. It was so good.
Oh.
And now I actually have to find out who they are.
Yeah.
Well, we went up to them afterwards and said, look, you were astonishingly good. You know, so
Do they normally play together? Is that this group?
I really don't know anything about
them. Well, if they don't now. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway,
hopefully
I want to find out more about it. But
okay, good.
But those are CRLS students. You know. Yeah.
So, I know, and they've been through a lot because this senior year, they lost their junior year and half of their sophomore year.
So. Yeah. Actually, it's sort of worth noting, not to go get too COVID-y about this here, but the thing is, Memorial Day weekend, there were not only commencements that were happening for MIT and Harvard.
Oh yeah, we went to that. That's right. I knew there was something we did that was
right.
Yeah,
but then they also had makeup commencement events for 2020 and 2021 for both institutions. And
so
on top of that, there was Boston Calling over across the river in Austin.
That's right. Right.
You know, and good weather and Celtics heading into the finals.
That's right.
And, you know, if ever you wanted to sort of have lots and lots of like super spreader events to really test.
They were mostly outside. It was all
mostly outside. It's true. Yeah. Now, I will say again, we don't need to go through all the numbers, but there has been an uptick, and I'm going to go out on the limb.
I heard the positivity rate in Boston was 8.8%.
Yeah,
our
positivity rate
is really high.
Ours had been climbing up to 7.45, and now it just dropped down. Yeah. But I'm noticing the case numbers did go up. And you know, and yes, you can say commencements were outside events, but I have a student of mine who we did Zoom classes. She lives in Texas and she was there at Harvard for the commencement activities, and her whole family went home to Texas with COVID. So,
well, they also had to fly here and all. I mean, the thing is, people are not wearing masks. They're not wearing masks on planes. They're not wearing masks when they go inside. I know so many people have gotten COVID and they weren't at commencements. Okay,
I'm only pointing out that the confluence of all of these things together was almost a guarantee of an uptick.
Yeah.
So the fact that
it hasn't, you're going to be on buses getting places. Yeah.
Right. So are we seeing some increases?
Yeah.
Yes. Are we seeing a spike? Mm-hmm. No, I don't think we're seeing a spike. So that to me is sort of the good news amidst the slightly bad news, but I think it's, we somehow managed to weather it reasonably well. And we'll just see.
People are just living with it. They're just living with it.
We're just living with it, right.
If they want to wear a mask, they mask, and I still do when I go inside places, and I'm still more vigilant, but you can't live your life totally because it's with us. It's not going to go away.
That's exactly right. So anyway, I just thought it was worth mentioning. I'll throw yet another kind of controversy, more of a, I like to call it the Memorial Drive kerfuffle.
Yeah.
So several, I don't know, months ago, the city council passed an order asking the city manager to request, or the mayor, to request to the DCR that a Memorial Drive be closed, not only just on Sundays, but like it was during COVID, they had sort of emergency rules where they opened, they closed it for Saturday and Sunday, but now they were going to close it Saturday morning through Sunday night, including the overnight.
I know, but did the city council ask them to do the overnight, or did DCR say, well, if we're going to want Saturday, we're just going to,
you know, I don't actually remember, but what was done is
because I think there's a big difference.
Right. Yeah. So they just decided they'll basically put up the barricades on Saturday morning and they'll take
it's
them down
8 a.m. too. Right. It's 8 a.m. till 7 p.m. on Sunday.
Right. So now what does this have to do with like Memorial Day weekend? Well, you know, so there was a city council order, I think from Councilor Simmons, basically reflecting a reaction of some of the people in the Cambridgeport and Riverside, should say Riverside neighborhood, who are getting some impacts. If no cars on Memorial, then Putnam becomes a real thoroughfare.
Yeah.
For traffic going the other way, Mount Auburn Street becomes much more heavily traveled as well. And I'm sure vehicles are finding other alternatives over in Boston on Star Drive, etc. So, you know, maybe these are just bad choices people are making. I don't know. But one of the things, I certainly witnessed it coming back on Mount Auburn Street when you're approaching the Putnam Avenue. It took forever to get through there because basically you were funneling all of that traffic elsewhere.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I heard that because of Boston Calling event over in Austin, they were also had closed down.
That's not a great weekend to actually.
No, it's not. It's like,
because
that's right.
Between graduation and that. And
yeah, it's
else.
Worst case scenario. There were also people moving out. So they actually closed off streets for move-outs.
So don't go by that.
No, I'm just saying is that if you wanted it's like a worst case scenario. That's a good standard right there.
I mean, there were a couple of people that spoke very eloquently and very much in support of it. They were neighborhood people who you don't usually hear from, a couple of them. And they said, we just want some modification. We like the idea. Yeah. And I think also the length of time, because it was a pandemic thing. That's why they put Saturday in, which is nice, but does it have to go till the end of November or whatever it was? I don't think so. I think it could go to the end of September and then maybe just keep the Sundays to the end. You know, it doesn't have to be, that's a long time to, and at night, how many people use it at night? I mean, I don't know.
I think
it's
one
all
thing
because of convenience. They don't want to up.
Right. So one thing with them, I don't have a strong opinion whether it should be Saturday through Sunday or just Sundays only, whatever, you know. Yeah.
Saturday and Sunday. I just don't like the evening.
One thing I
and the length of time. Yeah.
But I'm gonna make an observation here, which is that just like with the controversy up in North Mass Ave and Porter Square about bike lanes or that stuff, and now also the Memorial Drive, it is interesting because, like, for example, with the North Mass Ave kerfuffle, there, you know, the supposed idea about the protected bike lanes here has had to do with bicycle safety. But when you listen to the rhetoric, you know, the people who's speaking out about it, they start going on about climate change
cars.
And we need to have
cars
and doing it. Right. And then it kind of makes you wonder, is this really about safety or is this about basically saying nobody should be driving? And I heard
electric cars.
Right. That's true.
They have to find a space.
I agree. But I actually heard echoes of that in the Memorial Drive public comment as well. You know, all right. So this is a question about should Memorial Drive be completely closed, you know, two lanes each way, completely closed Saturday morning to Sunday night. Well, part of the public comment this past Monday. Yeah, actually yesterday. Was people going on and said, well, you know, we really, it's about time we actually put in some dedicated bike lanes there and reducing it to one lane in each direction.
I heard that from one person. I didn't.
But there was also some internet, you know, commentary.
Oh, okay. So you look at that stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah. So in other words, every every kerfuffle of this sort here basically becomes yet another public forum for people to argue why there should be fewer cars. You know, people shouldn't be driving, you should be biking and whatever, which, and maybe people should, but you know, there is a sort of an arrogance to the notion about telling
they don't
a person,
have cars, they don't have cars, and they're younger, and
right,
they
well,
don't,
and you should be bicycling to the grocery either, store.
Well, I'm not even sure they're saying that. There's other, but there's buses, and they're not touting enough of public transportation. It's either bikes and no cars. I don't see any, they're not really supporting enough about public transportation.
But anyway, my whole point is simply that each of these, you know, it's sort of like you have to read the context of each of these kerfuffles, whether it's North Mass Ave, whether it was, the two-way thing they did on Brattle Street, or whether it's the closure of Memorial Drive, there's definitely a population of people who simply believe there shouldn't be cars, you know, and that's not a viable option on, let's face it, right?
But it is.
But it's the rhetoric.
More
it's part
reflective
of, the
of the demographics, and it's a class thing.
Oh, it is.
Too.
You
it's a lot
there,
of stuff. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It is absolutely saturated with class distinctions,
well, especially the Memorial Drive
ageism
thing.
Yeah.
And the people it affects, that neighborhood that it affects. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. So to me, when you talk about, you know, either the Memorial Drive or whatever, it's not just about whether the road is or isn't open. It's really just part of an ongoing conversation about, you know, the evils of cars and stuff, right?
We want to be like Amsterdam. Well, we're not Amsterdam.
Very far from it. Yeah. So anyway, I don't know where this is all going to end up, you know, honestly.
There's got to be some modification of it, either the length of time, and consider maybe cut off the Saturday at a certain point to keep the Sunday, you know, have the Saturday for like your prime summer months when it's light out, you know, till 8:00. But, you know, it starts after June 21st or after it starts changing anyway. So I think sensible heads hopefully will prevail.
You know, it was
is that too much to ask for?
I always also come back to the fact that, at least as far as I remember, and I believe I'm 100% correct in this regard, Memorial Drive does have a nice paved Paul Dudley wide bike path. It does have green space on the grass going down to the river.
It's not, you're talking about on the other side, not so much at the Harvard Square side. There's a certain section of it that's going to be redone that is not so nice for bikes.
I mean, there are definitely some pinch points which are less ideal, but to me, you know, the having the surface, the asphalt surface of Memorial Drive is an addition to what already exists as a perfectly great bikeway.
Well, I would. Have you seen the bikeway from the BU Bridge down to all the way down the Science Museum? They redid that. That is a nice bikeway, and that's what they want to do.
Oh yeah,
or the other part of it.
Right, and
there's something to be said for walking without cars next to you. I mean, there is. I like that.
Right, so there is definitely an aesthetic quality that's worthwhile. Absolutely. Right.
It's not even aesthetic. It's senses. It's the senses that you.
Well, I believe that's what aesthetic is all about. But that's
not how the cars around you.
So. To me,
it's more visceral, but anyway.
Right. Now, one thing we talked about, I think kind of in a preliminary way at our last program was there was a pending moratorium on development at Alewife, right? Which not much to say other than the fact that there was a proposal that Dennis Carlone suggested at that meeting before that they should not include the Alewife triangle in the moratorium because, well, it wasn't really relevant. So, but then a week later, it actually came to a vote and there was a move to make an amendment and Dennis Carlone then said, no, we have to include he totally flipped.
He said it because he was listening to apparently the Cambridge Highland people came to, or whatever.
Right.
Those people were very important in his decision. Meanwhile, Memorial Drive people didn't seem to
are unheard. Yeah. So, but
as much. I just.
But anyway, in the end, it was a very close vote. It was 5-4 to exclude
Yeah.
You know, the sub-district, which included the triangle.
I am so glad that to keep it, to me, that just was more the quadrangle important statement.
And then once they did that, then I believe it passed unanimously. So there is a moratorium. And the only other thing I think worth mentioning about that is that, you know, and again, it's not like I don't pay attention to civic affairs or planning things that are going on in the city. But if you ask me today, well, what does the city council want up there in that moratorium area? I couldn't answer that question. You know, I have no idea what they actually want. So it's easy to pass a moratorium. That was one
of my questions to you.
Where are you going to go? What's next?
This is what I'm going to ask you. Did the envision plan or whatever refer specifically to light industrial?
Yes, it did.
Quadrangle?
Yes, it did. In a quadrangle.
And how much was how much was CDD responsible for implementing this?
Envision is really is more of a planning statement. It's not a blueprint. Right, but it's not an execution plan. Now what happened though is
wasn't someone paying attention to that? Yeah.
The politics shifts. Okay. So yes, there was a move toward quote light industrial and sort of job, you know, entry-level job producing activity. Not necessarily maximizing residential population in the area. Yeah. But then the politics has shifted toward the density crowd. So there are now more people who are advocating more for packing more housing into the area. So that leaves the whole envision plan sort of in flux. So what do you want? Do you want light industrial? Do you want housing? Probably both, but the question is
they could have had both. There were all those designs about a brewer. I remember seeing these drawings. They could have done both. And there's already a little bit of, there's a lot of rules.
Right, but there are
Iggy's there, the where, there's other stuff.
Right, but there are a few other factors. One is that there was this outside investment group started purchasing up the property in anticipation doing something big. And then, we do have a kind of a pattern over the last few years of twiddling thumbs until a big player.
And then all of a sudden, I know. It's
like Mass and Main, Normandy Twining comes into Central Square. And then, we had all this talk about K2C2 and then we did nothing. And then Normandy Twining comes in, buys 21 properties.
Yeah, so what's
and
up
next
with
thing
this?
You know, we're making Mass and Main. You know,
so this is like, they don't learn from their mistakes or maybe because there's a changeover.
It does seem
to be more preemptive,
does sometimes seem that the planning aspect of things is just it's like a chat group that
we like to spend money and this isn't free and we spend millions of dollars on these plans.
Now as I mentioned,
and then
the other bit of shifting politics had to do with different perceptions about how to address housing issues. And so would there be people who said, no, why are you doing light industrial in the with quadrangle? Don't you realize we could be putting in some high-rise residential buildings? So if that's what other people want, then that kind of is like throwing a monkey wrench into the previous planning exercise, because now different people want different things, One of the things that has used to be the case, I think, with especially with our form of city manager government, there was a certain level of continuity from term to term to term. So there would be changes in personnel in the city council, but if you were moving toward developing certain areas in a sort of a thoughtful, timely way, whether it was University Park or whether it was North Point or what have you, there was a kind of a more of a long-term plan about it all. Now we seem to kind of just change our minds a little quicker and the priorities shift and we're sort of back to square one sometimes. So hallelujah, we got ourselves a moratorium. Wonderful, Where does it go? I don't know. I really don't know. All right. So actually one other thing worth, this is hardly what I would call controversial, but this is the month when the new trash toters are being delivered around the city. So the implementation
started this week.
A plan that's been in the works for a long, long time now, where I was starting this week, So yesterday, I think it was yesterday, or maybe even today. So on
June 6th to 24th.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, right around the corner from me on Inman Street, you know, I saw the trucks dropping off an enormous numbers of these trash toters. You know, they had the little grease marker on them saying with the address, and they would drop off four of them here, six of them there.
Oh, so they, at least they had the address on it.
Yeah, okay. So they had how many each one was going to get. And it was just like the street was just full of these things. We'll see. And, you know, honestly, since I go down these streets all the time, I have a general sense about how many barrels would be typically
are
put
normally
out there.
Yeah.
And there seems actually to be more of these trash toters delivered than I typically remember seeing in trash barrels. So there may be a little bit of excess going on here, but I suspected that might be the case anyway.
It'll be interesting to see your observation of that. You see how many disappear into the backyards and how many.
Well, you know. Or they may call up Public Works and say, look, you know, you've delivered six here, but, you know, honestly, you're just taking up space. Can you take a couple back or something?
Yeah, but who's going to call? The property owner?
Well, the renter? Well, that's right. It really
should
be the property owner.
I think half of them didn't know this was happening. So that's.
Right. Which
fault,
is, you know, I mean, actually, that's another matter worth mentioning.
That's a big issue. We have 60% renters, which everybody's talking about. Well, who's managing those properties? They're not living in them necessarily if they're, you know, four or more. So,
you know, we have a public information officer, you know, and we have we have multiple people, even in multiple departments, whose job is public information. But I like these people a lot, but we somehow the cumulative effect is that we often do not get the information out to people effectively.
Well, the point is you can't just send it to a household or to an apartment. You have to go to the owner of the building. And I don't know what mechanism was used for that, because sometimes it's a phone call because they may not live in Cambridge. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you've got to find out who's maintaining the property, who owns it, who maintains it.
Yeah. But, you know, and again, just
send it out to the address.
You know, maybe this is one of the things that the new city manager can sort of like, you know, evaluate instead of, are we doing all that kind of outreach and information? Recruitment, all of those things where it involves your interaction between the city government and the people of the city. I think there are some gaps that I think we could probably improve upon, to be sure.
I don't know. I mean, I know years ago when I was on the, you were still on, I guess, the Recycling Advisory Committee, but we had talked about, is there a database of property owners/managers, maintenance companies for buildings, because that's how you're going to reach, you know, and change behaviors, change set outs or whatever. And I don't know if that ever, I'm sure it exists somewhere, but it's difficult. But so there's got to be another way to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not going to offer the solution right now, but I would just say that it's one of the things that I hope.
I don't know what that solution is. Yeah.
I don't know either, but I think improving it in various ways is going to be a good thing for the new city manager to sort of.
And the problem,
amongst many other things,
the problem also is that there's so many now LLCs and investment hedge fund people buying properties specifically for rent or whatever. So you don't know who owns what. So
that's
it's become even much harder in the last.
I mean, a large fraction of Cambridge has become an investment commodity, you know, bought, sold,
absolutely.
Traded. And I don't like that. As a owner-occupied property owner, I wish it were otherwise.
You're very few of you.
Yeah. By the way, sort of getting the word out information thing, you know, there was one, I mean, I won't sort of go through it chapter and verse here now, but, you know, the city council has pending some amendments to the building energy use disclosure ordinance.
June 22nd is the ordinance meeting on that.
So, and with it, there's, you know, if they were to make the amendments in the way that were proposed, there would actually be rigid mandates required over a period of either a short term or a very long term for actually building performance. So it's not just disclosure of information. But Patrick Barrett wrote a letter to the city council this past week, basically not from the point of view of like the city and the advocates or the city councilors or the big universities here, but from the point of view of a lot of larger residential property owners who actually don't even know that they're supposed to be reporting building use, you know, energy use. They're not, they're legally supposed to be disclosing it. Many don't even know about it yet. And apparently he's been getting a lot of calls since I posted the letter from property owners saying, what's all this about? What, they're going to tell me I have to do what by the year 2030? What?
Talk
what's
about
this
not
about?
Knowing anything. I know.
Yeah, and these are very consequential matters for a property owner. You know, if you have to come do a complete retrofit of your buildings, you know, you're not grandfathered in, apparently. And
they don't know about it? Did they?
Well, where do they know about it? Well, the city's response sometimes, well, it's on our website. that doesn't work.
See, they're stakeholders. See, that's the same thing that happened with the bike stuff. They're stakeholders. Yeah. So they need to be consulted on this is going on and we want your input.
Right. So just like with
and
North
Massive.
You can't
just have it on the website or just,
Yeah. Like with North Massive bike lanes and elsewhere, people sometimes, you could argue, well, maybe they should have known, but they don't know.
No.
And they find out afterwards and then they react. And then we got our problem in a crisis, you know?
That's the nature. It's human nature in many ways.
Yeah.
How many people follow meetings like this.
I
have a half a minute left.
I know. I mean, I do my best to try and get information out there, but we all fall flat on this. And I just think if there's a nice priority, we have to sort of put a little more priority on.
I hope our new city manager hears that. Okay.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Okay. So anyway, we're pretty much winding down here. So, you know, happy summer, everybody. But we'll be back.
We'll see you on June 21st.
Couple weeks, June 21st, which will be the first day of spring. And see you then on Cambridge
summer,
Inside
not
Out.
Spring. All right.